We'll talk a little bit on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita is a very big work. You know, it has 11,500 verses. So, whereas the Bhagavad Gita has only 700. So it's like quite voluminous, and it's there's a lot of information. And I wanted to first create a little context and then zoom in on a particular pastime. So, it is described in the Adilila how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first appeared in Navadvip. He stayed there the first 24 years of his life, from 1486, and a little calculation will bring it to 1510. That in 1510, well, for the first portion of his life, let's say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was undercover. His identity was not known to anyone. He was not known as a devotee, nor was he known as the Supreme Lord. So exactly how much time he manifested himself as a devotee is, of course, there are different opinions about it. But in general, the idea is that it was very short, maybe like 1.5 to 2 years, that in Navadvip he was revealing his identity as a devotee. In that time, of course, many things happened. First of all, Srivas Pandit was a contemporary of Jagannath Misra and Sachimata. He was of the same age, and they were close friends. They all came from the from East Bengal. So they had all moved to Navadvip, and there they settled down, and Srivas and his wife Malini practically became neighbors. They practically became neighbors of the parents of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We know that today Srivas Angan and the Yoga Pit are very close. So Yoga Pit is where Jagannath Misra and Sachimata lived, and Srivas Angan where Srivas Thakur and his wife Malini lived. So it is said that Srivas and Malini were very close with Jagannath Misra and his wife, and Malini assisted Sachimata at the time of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's how close family friends they were, practically speaking. And then we see that Srivas, he had at a young age this experience. First he had some wild years where he wasn't following any Vedic principles or regulations. And then Srivas, he was a real party type, so to speak. Right? And, but then there was some prediction that he would die within a year. And he took that prediction serious. So, and he became a devotee. So for 1 year he was a practicing devotee. And then that particular day that he was supposed to die came, and Srivas was just listening to a Bhagavatam lecture in the house of Devananda Pandit. And at that time, he felt like suffocated. He couldn't breathe. So he went outside of the room, and the lecture was on the first floor. So as he went out of the room, and he went on the terrace of the balcony, and he just took some fresh air there, really dizzy, and then he kind of lost his balance and fell over the edge of the balcony. And some unknown person in the street just appeared and caught him mid-air, put him on the ground. So he is like just lying on the ground, but someone had saved him, and that person just disappeared, and it was a whole crowd. Oh, what happened? And this, that, and he still didn't feel well, so he could never He never knew who saved him until later Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that he was the one who saved him there personally. Well, it's there that Srivas, it is said, sort of had an awareness of being in his eternal form none other than Narada Muni. Srivas had that experience at that time. And so, anyway, he was still in a very in a great state of shock when he was at home, naturally. So then Srivas, the next morning, he took a book. I mean, obviously, these books were in kind of manuscript form, handwritten form on leaves and palm leaves, and he took a manuscript, a roll, a copper roll, opened it up, read the palm leaves, and the book that he took off the shelf was the Naradiya Purana, the Brihan Naradiya Purana, Naradiya Purana. So he read that one. And then he came across the verse, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva Katira Nyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way than the chanting of the holy name. So this narration that I'm telling you now is recorded in the Chaitanya Chandradaya Natak of Kavikarnapur and is recognized in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as authorized literature, authorized biography. It's Krishna's Kaviraj mentioned, the authorized biography. So our acharyas are accepting this as authorized biography. Kavikarnapur, as we know, is the one who as a child, when he was only a few months old, sucked the toe of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His father put him at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he sucked the toe of the Lord. So that helps. it's one way of becoming very advanced. Yeah. He's looking at the deity. Chani Tai. Contemplating something. Anyway, Kavikarnapur, he became very advanced. It's interesting, from that day on, Srivas started kirtan in his house. So, calculating a little bit, Srivas must have been around early 20s by then. Right? So, that means that for a period of approximately 12, 15 years, there was kirtan in his house every night before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even appeared in this world. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, as I said, was active for a few years, let's say 2 years or 1.5, if you calculate it according to Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's 1.5. So that would make it 22.5 plus 12, so again, about 35 years, the kirtan was already going on in the house of Srivas before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu joined that kirtan. And, you know, and then the kirtan reached its heights. And then, in 1510, it just all came to a dead halt. It just stopped. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and upon the order of his mother left for Jagannath Puri. And that was it. And in Navadvipa it was just like the end of the world. You know, we were thinking there was the end of the world in December, which didn't happen, of course. But for them, the end of the world happened. It stopped. Life stopped. That was in Navadvipa. And Srivas couldn't tolerate it. So Srivas moved away. He moved away from there. He couldn't stay there. He moved to another place called Kumarhatta. This is like not so far from Calcutta, that place. And that's actually also the birthplace of Iswarapuri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kumbharata. Later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there to get some earth from the birthplace of his spiritual master. He took some earth, and he also met Srivas there. So, two reasons for going there. And yes, since that time, many devotees have taken earth, and therefore nowadays there is a big water tank, and they say that's the place where the devotees, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took some earth. All right, so Kumbharata is also a significant place. Oh. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then in Jagannath Puri, he went to Jagannath Puri, stayed a very short time, met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the greatest scholar in the Sat Darshan, the six philosophies at his time. And subsequently, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and so on, and made him a devotee. And then shortly after, he left Jagannath Puri and he started his tour of South India, which took about 6 years. It was an extensive tour. And then he comes back to Jagannath Puri. And it's a big thing when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Jagannath Puri. I mean, all the devotees from Bengal were just waiting and waiting for him to come back. He'd given an order, no one can come on the tour to South India, only one servant. They had talked him into taking one servant, some Kala Krishna Das he took with him. But that fellow, that devotee, became a little distracted by some gypsy ladies but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there and pulled him out of there by the hair. And there's a verse that says that spiritual master is glorious who saves his disciple by the hair. Anyway, so that's the so then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Jagannath Puri after that tour of South India. And the news spread really fast. And the devotees from Bengal, really in no time, never before had anyone walked that distance so fast. So they walked from Bengal to Puri really fast. They were there in no time. And they were very ecstatic also as they walked. And then it was just about time for Snan Yatra. The bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, where Lord Jagannath comes out of his temple and there's a big bathing, and that is like about 2 weeks before Rath Yatra, and then there's Rath Yatra. Lord Jagannath catches a cold, gets ill, doesn't come on the altar, and during that time there's the Navakalevaram, the painting and this and that of the deity. But others have heard that he gets really unwell. Also in Mayapur they celebrate that, and they can hear the deity at night, you know, like his teeth rattling from the fever. Jagannath, very ill. All right, these things are there. Anyway, then at this time of the Snan Yatra, there was a pastime where every year the queens would sit on the roof of a building that was very close to the bathing facility, and they would have like a perfect view. And then the king said to the queens that this year the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will sit there. Well, that was a little bit of a domestic issue for a while. But anyhow, the king held his ground, and indeed the associates of Mahaprabhu sat there, and the queens got the second best roof. But still, it was an extraordinary Snan Yatra, because when Lord Jagannath was being out there, and various brahmanas were chanting prayers and throwing pots of water over Lord Jagannath. Many drops bounced in all directions and glistened in the sun. And at the same time, though, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in front of Lord Jagannath, and there was more water coming from the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than of the body of Lord Jagannath. And that was just from the tears that were shooting from his eyes. And it was shooting in all directions, more water than all the bathing water that bounced off Jagannath. Everyone was just amazed. Where is all this water coming from? So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing Snanyatra, and all the devotees, they got into kirtan, and it was Prem Sankirtan. No one had ever seen such kind of Sankirtan. So much ecstasy. The whole town of Navadvip came running to see it spontaneously. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyway, so for 6 years, each year the devotees came for Rath Yatra and performed Rath Yatra with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who danced in incredible ecstasy, who jumped high above the crowd. He's dancing, he jumped really high. Everyone's just way above the people, flying in the air and then coming down and crashing to the ground. And Nityananda would catch him so that he wouldn't fall on the ground. And then he jumped back up. So anyway, this was going on for 6 years, and after that, 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into another state of consciousness. So absorbed in his remembrance of Krishna, so absorbed in living in the reality of Krishna, that he didn't relate any longer to the outside world. He had no interest in the outside world any longer. He's just absorbed in that world of Krishna, and constantly just seeing Krishna, remembering Krishna, or being in separation of Krishna, one of the two. Sometimes he would see Krishna. He would see Krishna picking flowers with the gopis, and suddenly he was also there, also picking flowers. Other times he would see Krishna performing water sports while he was floating in the ocean and things like that. So that's all described. So anyway, we are just now come to a point where those first 6 years of the Rath Yatra have passed, and basically what is happening is we are now about to read about Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was younger than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whereas Rupa and Sanatan were kind of very close in age to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das was considerably younger. So lived quite a bit longer than than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa and Sanatan. So there was a period after the departure of Rupa and Sanatan that like Raghunath Das became like the leader of the Vaishnavas, of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Anyway, Raghunath Das Goswami, we'll read now in chapter 6 of the Antya Lila. We find a description of Raghunath Das Goswami's life. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Chaitanya Charitamrita wrote a commentary, and this commentary is known as the Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. And in that commentary, he has summarized all the chapters. So each time he gives a chapter summary, and they are quite thorough, very thorough, really. He covers the chapter really well. So I'll just read the chapter summary tonight, just so that we get an idea, and then bounce off that. A summary of this chapter is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya as follows. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into transcendental fits of ecstatic love, Ramananda Rai and Sarup Damodar Goswami attended to him and satisfied him as he desired. Raghunadas Goswami had been attempting to come to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a long time. And finally he left his home and met the Lord. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to Shantipur on his way to Vrindavan, Raghunadas Goswami had offered to dedicate his life at the Lord's lotus feet. In the meantime, however, a Muslim official became envious of Hiranyadas, Raghunadas Goswami's uncle, and induced some big official court minister to have him arrested. Thus Hiranyadas left home, but by the intelligence of Raghunadas, the misunderstanding was mitigated. Then Raghunadas went to Panihati, and following the order of Nityananda Prabhu, he observed a festival, Chirdar Mahotsav, by distributing chip rice mixed with yogurt. The day after the festival, Nityananda Prabhu gave Raghunadas the blessings that he would very soon attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After this incident, Raghunadas, with the help of his priest, whose name was Yadunandan Acharya, got out of his house by trickery and thus ran away. Not touching the general path, Raghunadas Goswami secretly went to Jagannath Puri. After 12 days, he arrived in Jagannath Puri at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrusted Raghunadas Goswami to Srup Damodar Goswami. Therefore, another name for Raghunadas Goswami is Swarupir Raghu, or the Raghunath of Srup Damodar. For 5 days, Raghunadas Goswami took prasadam at the temple, but later he would stand at the Simadwara gate and eat only whatever he could gather by alms. Later he lived by taking alms from various chatras or food distribution centers. When Raghunadas's father received news of this, he sent some men and money, but Raghunadas Goswami refused to accept the money. Understanding that Raghunadas was living by begging from the chatras, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented him with his own Gunja Mala and a stone from Govardhan Hill. Thereafter, Raghunadas Goswami used to eat rejected food that he had collected and washed. This renounced life greatly pleased both Srup Damodar Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took by force some of the same food, thus blessing Raghunadas Goswami for his renunciation. The first verse, always in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is sort of like a summary of the chapter also. Krishnadas captures in a poetic way or the essence of the chapter. So I'll read the first verse also and then... Kripa-gune-ja kukri-gandha-kupad Udritcha bangya ragunatta dasham Nyasya swarupa vidade antarangam Shri Krishna Chaitanya mamam prapadye. With the robes of his causeless mercy, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu employed a trick to deliver Raghunadas Goswami from the blind well of contemptible family life. He made Raghunadas Goswami one of his personal associates, placing him under the charge of Srup Damodar Goswami. I offer my obeisances to him. Yeah, well, so Raghunadas Goswami was born in a very wealthy family. Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, his uncle and his father, they were very influential in the district government. They were tax collectors on behalf of the government. They were very wealthy landholders, and therefore they had enough influence and money to be tax collectors. I mean, to be a tax collector basically meant you were the ruler of the district, and you had enough power to make people pay the tax. So you had to have money and some and men and, like, you know, and you'd be a law enforcer in the whole area. That's how the Muslims did it. See, the Muslims didn't like take over the administration of the country. They did not create an apparatus, you know, of like many officers who were controlling everything. They simply made partnerships with people who they appointed over areas, and they enforced the law in that area according to their liking, right? And as long as they paid the tax to the Muslim government. So Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, they were the controllers of that whole particular area around this, the town known as Saptagram, where Raghunath Das was from. So they were an extremely wealthy family, huge amounts of money they had at that time. And it said like something like, anyway, 1.2 million rupees a month they were making. So it's like already, like even today, if you make 1.2 million rupees a month, you know, you're rich, right? So they were like 500 years ago, you cannot imagine how rich that was. They were extremely wealthy. So yeah, the family obviously, you know, he was the successor in the family, and the whole hope of the continuation of the family was resting on him. And so, you know, they weren't really going to let him go very easily. So Raghunath Das, somehow or other, got influenced at an early age by none other than Haridas Thakur. It was Haridas Thakur who would visit the house of Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. And by that association of Haridas, it wasn't that Haridas had particularly targeted Raghunath Das. He had not particularly been preaching to that young boy and trying to, you know, convert him or something, but just his presence, just being there in the house and his incredible spiritual authority and realization that had impressed Raghunath so much. And, you know, from that he had developed only one desire: to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was on the planet. Right? So, you know, like, he couldn't hold himself back. And so he showed way too much interest in his teenage, in his teenage years, way too much interest in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, his father arranged that he was always under surveillance, never ever alone for a moment, always surrounded by some nice brahmanas who were taking care of him, right, and would make sure he couldn't escape. Constantly guarded, like a prisoner in a palace. And he did escape. At one point he started to escape, and then they would just catch him and bring him back. It's the whole thing. Send guards after him, you know, horses, and you know, they'd catch him. So they married him off to this beautiful girl, right, the most beautiful girl this dad he had. And like, you know, at one point Raghunath Das's mother said to her husband, she said, our son has become a madman. Why didn't you tie him up with ropes? Her husband said, look, you know, we have our Raghunath Das, right, has the opulence of Indra. We have given him the most beautiful wife, the most beautiful girl for his wife, right? He is everything a man could desire, and that couldn't bind him. Then how do you think I can bind him with ropes? You think ropes will bind him? Our son is a madman of Lord Chaitanya. Who can bind such a madman? So that became a real issue in the family. And his spiritual master, or the family spiritual master, was Yadunandan Acharya. And Yadunandan Acharya was a disciple of Advaita Acharya. So Yadunandan Acharya is actually a bona fide Vaishnava and is well known as one of the branches of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and so on. So he had a bona fide spiritual master and all that. But one day, his spiritual master was... the story is a little early. It said that one day, nearby, Nityananda came. Nityananda came to Panihati, which is not so far from Saptagram. So then, Raghunandas just became so agitated that, the father said, all right, you can go. Right? But of course, with a whole entourage, right? You can go with a whole entourage, to take care of you properly. In this way, Raghunandas, when he came there, then that pastime with Nityananda happened. Panihati is a very nice place. If you ever are in Bengal, there is Panihati. The Panihati festival, which was started by Raghunath Das, is just about a week before Snanyatra. Snanyatra 2 weeks before Ratiyatra, and the Puri Ratiyatra is always somewhere in July. So, you go somewhere like June, mid-June, and you'll catch Panihati, then you'll catch Snanyatra in Mayapur, which is really, really nice. Because in Mayapur, we all go with a pot to the Ganga, and you carry that water on your head for 3 kilometers in a kirtan, right, to the Jagannath temple, and then you're allowed to bathe Lord Jagannath. Well, by then you really want to, you know what I mean? if you carry water for 3 kilometers, you really have a desire to bathe Lord Jagannath, you know what I mean? And just get protective about that water. This is my water, and with this water I'm going to bathe Lord Jagannath, right? You get that mood, so it is it's quite nice. Very nice festival. And then after we have Ratiyatra in Calcutta, where you can sneak off to Jagannath Puri for Ratiyatra, that you decide. So it's very nice. Panihati is a great festival, and it's a lovely place on the bank of the Ganga. And it's different than Mayapur in the sense that, first of all, the Ganga is straight. There's no curve, and the current is not as strong. It's like, so on the shore, the current is mellow. So, and there are many trees on the bank. Many trees on the bank, and big trees. Like, there's this big, the biggest tree of all is the big banyan tree where Nityananda sat. And there's a platform around it. And then Panihati is a place that no cars are allowed in these days. And the area around the tree, it's sort of cut off anyway by canals. So, you can only walk. There's little bridges and walk. And it's like, everyone sits there with chip rice, and it's a whole big chip rice festival. Just as Nityananda forced Raghunath to do. Because when Raghunath arrived there, at that place, Nityananda saw him at a distance, and Nityananda said, immediately, he said, some associate of Nityananda said, there is Raghunath. Nityananda looked, and Raghunath immediately fell down flat on the ground. Just then, he offered his obeisances, and Nityananda called out, you, Raghunath, grab him, this thief, catch the thief. So they caught Raghunath and finally brought him before Nityananda, who said, now I've caught you, you thief. You stole away the opportunity for me to embrace you by paying obeisances at a distance. And then Nityananda embraced him. And then Nityananda said, and for this I will punish you, and you will have to organize a festival for all the Vaishnavas, and the chip rice festival was born, and you know, Raghunath Das got into it, and he bought all the chip rice in the area, and he had Brahmana soak it and bought big pots, and one with yogurt, one with milk, and it's a whole thing, and boiling it down. And, you know, it's not just chip rice and milk. They put rasgullas in it, they put mangoes in it, and, you know, by the time it's ready, it's good. It's quite good. Cashews, anything goes in that chip rice. I mean, it's quite tasty stuff, yes, by the time it's done. Anyway, so that tradition is there, the Panihati festival. Now, the end of it all was that Raghunath Das had the darshan of Nityananda. Raghunath Das did service to Lord Nityananda. And after he had done service to Lord Nityananda, he got the blessings of Lord Nityananda after he had fed everyone very nicely in this festival. And it said, through those blessings of Lord Nityananda, he became qualified to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He tried again and again to approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, but there was no success. But when he went through Nityananda, and when he got the mercy of Nityananda, then it worked. Of course, you know, like how do you, we go to Nityananda through the representative of Nityananda, because we can't meet him directly. So the spiritual master is the representative of Nityananda. And Prabhupada very much is the representative of Nityananda. So in this way. But Raghunath first got the mercy of Nityananda, then he came to Puri, and as we heard, when he arrived there, he was placed under Swarup Damodar Goswami. Now, this is of importance, because when you are studying the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not only that we're studying stories about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? Oh, some story this, some story there, very nice, very sweet, oh, 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 oh. So nice, so sweet. And that's not all it is. There is also very deep meaning. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is a book which gives us, besides pastimes, it gives us the entire theology, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also the ontology. It also gives us the entire nature of how the Supreme Lord manifests himself in various ways. As we know from Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam, that there is only one Lord. Advaitam is only one, not two. Advaita, not two. Right, he's one, not two, it says. There's only one Lord. Just like Allah comes from Alila. That means only, actually, Alila means only one Lord. He's only one. Right? So same boat, Advaita. You can tell the Muslims, yes. Alila, Advaita, same. Yes. So, in this way, only one Lord. But Anantarupam, he has unlimited forms, that Lord, yes. And also energies. Then the Muslims will sort of raise an eyebrow. But that's news for them. But whatever. Yes, so the Brahma Samhita is pointing this out, that he is simultaneously one and many, Achincha Beda Beda Tattva, simultaneously one and many. So yes, we are looking at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like that, right? Our Kavikarna, right, who wrote that Chaitanya Chandadoi Natak, which was an authorized biography, wrote more, and the one who sucked the toe of the Lord when he was a child. And another book that he wrote is the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika. This Gaura Ganadesh Deepika is an important book. It's very small, a small book, not. But it is like a key to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because there's several, there's a variety of information in the book, but for one thing, it is a guide as to who is who. Who in Chaitanya Leela is who in Krishna Leela. So that helps. Okay, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, Nityananda is Balaram, and then it goes on. So our Sarup Damodar Goswami is identified as being none other than Lalita. Yeah. Now that's very important, because Lalita, well, we know that when there's Radha and Krishna, that there are many, that the Asta Sakis, or the eight principal Sakis, are direct expansions of Srimati Radharani. There are, of course, different ones, such as Chitra Devi, or Champakalata, or Tungavitya, to name some. And of course, Lalita and Vishakha. And Lalita and Vishakha are the first and foremost amongst the Astasakis. And these, it is said, the Astasakis are actually immediate expansions of Srimati Radharani. They are not jiva tattva, they are not living beings like we are, right? They are not jivas. They are, just as Srimati Radharani is not in the jiva tattva category, Srimati Radharani is in the shakti tattva. She is Ladini Shakti personified. Ladini Shakti means the pleasure potency of Krishna personified. So part of Krishna's external, part of his internal energy. Krishna has internal energy, Krishna has marginal energy, Krishna has external energy. The internal energy is the energy in the spiritual world. Part of the internal energy is Ladini Shakti. And that's Srimati Radharani personified. Yes. Then the Tatastha Shakti, the marginal energy, that's the living beings, the jivas, that's us. And then the external energy is this material world. So we can see that there's another energy of Krishna. Now, the Astasakis are in the Shakti Tattva category, they are direct expansions of Krishna. And Lalita is the first one, and the foremost one. And then Vishakha. And then the other Astasakis. And it said actually, Srimati Radharani, just as Krishna, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, just as Krishna takes many forms, and that we see how Krishna expands himself as Balaram, how Krishna expands himself as the first Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and then expands himself as Narayan, then as the second Chaturvyuha, again Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and then from there so many Vishnu forms come, and then we come to Mahavishnu. Right. So while Krishna expands himself into all these different forms, Radharani also expands herself into so many forms. And when Krishna has expanded himself and comes to Mahavishnu, meanwhile Radharani has expanded herself to Mahalakshmi. And from Mahalakshmi then, so many other forms also come. So we can understand many forms are also manifesting from Srimati Radharani. Yes. And a matching expansion to concert each expansion of Krishna. So the Astasakis are also immediate expansions of Srimati Radharani, which are reflecting different moods of Srimati Radharani. So she is simultaneously manifesting herself in these different forms are there as different individuals, but they all have a bit, they reflect a bit of Radharani's mood, such as the opulence of the spiritual world. Well, so Swarup Damodar Goswami is that Lalita. Swarup Damodar Goswami is a very interesting personality in the whole pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, I would call him the mysterious person. Right? He's like a mysterious person because he is the secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, extremely powerful. No one can get to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without first being tested by Swarup Damodar. If you want to present something to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you say, I've written a song, can I play my song for Mahaprabhu? You first had to go to Chaitanya, to Swarup Damodar, and we just cut it to pieces. Right? It's quite, you know, everyone would think, oh, such a great song, and he'd go, this is off, and that is Rasa Bas, and, you know, like that. He was quite, several people were exposed. So Swarup Damodar was very influential. Swarup Damodar was, amongst the devotees, a great authority. At the same time, Swarup Damodar is not like coming out as a great teacher, like Rupa Goswami, amongst the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, comes out as the great teacher. Sanatana Goswami comes out as a great teacher, and they are like the great teachers. The six Goswamis are the great teachers, not Swarup Damodar. Yeah. Swarup Damodar is sort of so prominent. He orders the devotees around, and they, whatever he says, they accept in Jagannath Puri. Yes, he is the leader. But he is not like in the foreground as a preacher. But at the time when no one is really allowed to come anymore, see, every year, the devotees that came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they had to come with an authority. You couldn't just come on your own. If you wanted to join the Ratha Yatra, you had to come either with Sivananda Sen or with Advaita Acharya. They would bring devotees to Mango. It's like, you know, and in large groups, and then they would come for 6 years in a row. But after that, and then at the end, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would send them back, because of course on their own they wouldn't go. And that's logical, right? Ratha Yatra, they would just stay, you know. Ratha Yatra's over. Everyone would just stay. They didn't understand. But then Lord Chaitanya would tell them to go back. Okay, then. What to do? I would go back like this. But then after the 6 years were over, they were not like invited to come anymore. So then, you know, they didn't come anymore. So it was really intense. Then the only ones who were staying were Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai. Swarup Damodar being Lalita, Ramananda Rai being Vishakha. Right? And they were like very intimate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time. So whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went through in those last 12 years, yeah, the devotees from Bengal didn't really know. They didn't really know what it was. But, you know, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy were completely part of it. But Raghunath Das Goswami was, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, put under the care of Swarup Damodar, was his assistant. So Raghunath Das Goswami was allowed to stay. So he stayed. He stayed throughout. He was there throughout the whole thing. And Swarup Damodar Goswami kept a diary. Aha. He kept a diary about those last 12 years. And that diary, of all things, is now lost. God. the diary, you know, like where Mahaprabhu finally begins to display all the ecstasies in full, that diary, we don't have. Would there be a transcendental reason for it? Possibly so. But although the diary is no longer available, somehow or other, Raghunath Das memorized it. So according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which he writes in his introduction to his to the Brahma Samhita commentary, right? He says that Raghunath Das memorized the diary of Srupa Damodara and brought it to Bengal. So in this way, this diary came, this knowledge of the diary at least came to Bengal. And we see some of it surfacing in the writings of Kavi Karnapur. For example, you know, every day we are saying Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktavinoda. And we have even here, there they are on the altar. The Panchatattva. And you look in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is the authorized biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no mention of the Panchatattva. Nothing. Advaita Acharya there, Nityananda there, Gadadhara is there, they're all there. But not like Panchatattva, one concept, no. You don't find the concept of one unit, Panchatattva. You don't find it in Murari Gupta's diary. You don't find it in the Chaitanya Mangal of Lochan Das Thakur, another. You don't find it in any of the bona fide biographies. But for the first time, you find it in Kavi Karnapur's Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, the concept of Panchatattva. And what does he say, Kavi Karnapur? He says, previously, Krishna also appeared with these five tattvas. And now again, the Lord Chaitanya, has appeared in these five features. So that's... And then he says, Panchatattvamakam Krishnam Bhaktarupasarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktishaktikam, which is the verse that we have quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhaktarupa, the Lord in the form of a devotee, Nityananda Bhakta Swarupa, the same Lord in the form of a devotee, now his own form, Swarupa, in the form of a devotee, Advaita Acharya Bhakta Avatar, the Lord, the incarnation of a devotee, the Lord, and then Gadadhara Shakti Tattva, Bhakta Shakti, also again, Shakti Tattva, expansion of Radharani, not a jiva, and then Srivas, Narada Muni, the jiva, the Panchatattva. And the same five manifestations are there with Krishna also. With Krishna also, we can see that there is, of course, Balaram, there's Lord Krishna, then there's Balaram, and then there's all the avatars. We have Leela avatars, Guna avatars, you have all these avatars of Krishna. You know, you've sometimes seen the avatar charts of Krishna. All right, so we have all the avatars, all the incarnations of Krishna. They're the avatar category. And then we have also Shakti Tattva with Krishna. We saw just the Astashakis, Shakti Tattva. And we have also the Jiva Tattva with Krishna. So yes, the Pancha Tattva also exists with Krishna. Interesting. So we're learning something. Then we're moving along, because my real interest is in Sarup Damodar Goswami and in Raghunath Das Goswami, who was so conversant with the knowledge that Sarup Damodar Goswami had. Why am I choosing Raghunath Das? Because Raghunath Das Goswami is, according to many, the spiritual master of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Srila Prabhupada doesn't accept that. Srila Prabhupada clearly writes that Nityananda is the Diksha Guru don't help me, then I get really lost. Yeah, not of Raghuna Das, and of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, sorry. Raghuna Das, is described as the Siksha Guru of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So, you know, there's some debating, even some god brothers in the Gaudiya Math are accepting Raghuna Das as the Diksha Guru. Interesting is that in Jamatpur, which is the birthplace of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, there is a temple, and in that temple there is a stone, and in the stone there is an inscription which says that Krishnadas Kaviraj was the disciple of Nityananda. Interesting. Just a footnote. Well, whatever may be, we follow Prabhupada. But Raghuna Das Goswami had this very intimate connection with Krishnadas Kaviraj. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was staying at Radhakund. His Bhajan Kutir is at Radhakund. Right? And there he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which, you know, is not a book that he wrote in like 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. Scholars are sort of calculating that it might have taken up to 20 years to write the book, which is, you know, I mean, quite understandable. I mean, you know, no Google and all that, you know, no word processors, and just ink and palm leaves, and just, yeah, you know, you have to plow through all the scriptures. Hard work. Yeah. So anyway, and it is like very scholarly, and like so many quotes, and really underbuilt and very structured. But then we come to the connection between Raghuna Das and Krishnadas Das very strong, because Raghuna Das was the one who excavated Radhakund. Somehow or other, Raghuna Das was there at that place after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered it, and then some wealthy man who had a desire to give a big donation in Haridwar had a dream that he should instead give the money to Raghuna Das. And then because Raghuna Das was, of course, very expert, I mean, he'd grown up like in this family. So A, he was expert in managing lots of money, and he was also expert in getting big operations done. So he built all the guts around Radhakund and so on. Yeah, so that was done then. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj had this connection with him. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in ISKCON we have the play of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Right.
Walking all the way from Bengal to Vrindavan,
1,200 kilometers, right? Because he was, you know, it says he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita in his 90s. So there's this idea that in his 90s, you know, he walked across one side of India to the other, 1,200 k's, right? Through forests with tigers and lions and etc. But the fact of the matter is that the Bhakti Ratnakar, which is a book which gives a lot of historical information about the Vaishnavas, is mentioning that Krishnadas Kaviraj is there at certain meetings with the Goswamis, right? And that made Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami a very important person, because he was personally trained by the six Goswamis, personally trained by Rupa Sanatan and Jiva Goswami, right? And therefore he was like very learned in that philosophy of the Goswami philosophy. And He was a great and pure devotee in the maturity of his life. At that time, so in chapter 8 of the Adi Lila, Krishnadas Kaviraj introduces himself in the book. And he begins to describe how in Vrindavan, at that time, there was an amazing temple where the Lord of their lordships of Sisi Radha Govinda was seated on a jeweled throne and worshipped in a gorgeous temple, and that thousands of devotees every day would assemble there, and that in the evening they would have big discussions on the Chaitanya Mangal. At that time, what is now known as Chaitanya Bhagavat was known as Chaitanya Mangal. Later there was another Chaitanya Mangal written, and then the Goswamis changed the name of the Chaitanya Mangal, the first one, to Chaitanya Bhagavat. So every year, every day, the devotees would assemble there. Thousands of devotees would come to the temple, and devotees would assemble at night to hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then there was a head pujari in this Radha Govinda temple. He was such an amazing devotee. An amazing devotee. And he had disciples as well. And his disciple was also wonderful. Wonderful. And both of them requested Krishnadas Kaviraj to please write down the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami? He had never even met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why him? Why not a contemporary? Yeah. Why him? How could he write a biography? They asked him to write a biography. And then other devotees, other prominent devotees as well, approached him to write. So finally, when it was the will of the Vaishnavas that he would write the biography, then he went before the deities and prayed for like some sort of confirmation. And as he offered his obeisances, a garland fell off the deities. And the pujari immediately offered it to him. Yeah. And then he took it as a confirmation. So why Krishnadas Kaviraj? Because everybody knew. He comes, he is very learned, he has been trained by the Goswamis. But that's not all. He knows from Raghunadas Goswami about the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knows this and nobody else knows it. And he knows everything that Jiva Goswami has taught. He knows all the philosophy inside out from Rupa. Who is a better person than him? He knows the lost diary, that hidden knowledge. And that we want. We have all the earlier pastimes in Navadvip, in Chaitanya Bhagavat. We have that. And a little bit after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and a little bit in Puri, a little. And we have. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, but not much at all about that whole tour of South India, not much at all about that return to Jagannath Puri, nothing about what happened off in those 12 years after the Rath Yatra had ended, nothing in all those biographies, nothing. And they wanted all that, and therefore Krishnadas Kaviraj was the appropriate person, to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, empowered by Raghunadas Goswami, empowered by Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, empowered by Jiva Goswami, and empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was saying, Krishnadas Kaviraj, how am I right? My hands are shaking. Due to old age, my body is filled with disease. My eyes My eyesight, no glasses in those days. You know, I mean, even I have to put the font on very big if I want to see it without glasses. And I'm not in my in my 90s yet, or 80s, or whatever he was. Let's say 20 years, so from 70-something to 90-something. I mean, without glasses, he's writing, his hand is shaking. He said, "My memory." I said, like, "Yeah, I know all about it, you know." Memory. I mean, memory, isn't it? What's that memory? Memory. I even forgot what the word means. What does it mean again? Memory. You know, it's been a long time. You know what I'm talking about. It goes down quick. So Krishnadas Kaviraj says all these logical things. You know, he's half blind, he can't, his hand is shaking and trembling, his memory is shot. How is he supposed to write a systematic biography at that age? But he's doing it, so he's also empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, how can he write? So in this way, therefore today I chose to read a little bit about Raghunadas Goswami, just to see the importance of Raghunadas Goswami in connection as the link between Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Swarup Damodara Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami also has his connection with Swarup Damodara Goswami. Because Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. See, it's like this. Radha and Krishna in the inner circle. The next circle around it, the Astasakis. Then the next circle around that, the Manjaris. The Manjaris are Jivas. They're Jivas. So Radha and Krishna, the eternal couple, the divine couple, Radharani expending herself into the Astasakis to add more pleasure to Krishna's in his service. Then the Manjaris, who are the Jivas, who are assisting the Astasakis. And Rupa Manjari is the principal assistant of Lalita. So that is our line. We are known as Rupanugas. Right? And the mood, see, of Lalita, it is said there are different groups of gopis. Right? That are, some gopis are in competition with the group of Srimati Radharani. Some groups are neutral. Yeah? They sometimes are against competing with the group of Radharani and sometimes helping. Then you have friendly groups. And finally, you have Radharani's own group. And the leader of Radharani's own group is Lalita. Yeah? So in this way, therefore they say that Raghunadas Goswami was emphasizing in his books Radhadasya, service to Srimati Radharani. Right? In the sense of, so not serving Krishna directly, but understanding that she has more power to please Krishna than we have. Right? So not ourselves trying to become the most wonderful gopi to please Krishna, right? But saying, no, Srimati Radharani is the most wonderful gopi. We'll just try and become the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani. Which is exactly what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching. Gopi Bhartapada Kamalayur Dasana Dasana Das. So this movement is known as Radhadasya. So Raghunadas particularly emphasizes this Radhadasya. So it's interesting in his writings. So anyway, there's a lot of information that I'm throwing at you. And I'm throwing it at you in a sort of summarized form. You know, you can zoom in on many details of what I've discussed. And maybe I leave it up to you to decide where you want to put the zoom lens. Right? So if you have any area that you would like me to highlight further and zoom in on one area, I can do that now. So it, the floor is yours. Moods.
And please, would you tell me, would you tell us something about the differences of the moods? How they are mixed to one another?
Poor. Zoom in on the Astasakis. I'd have to open a book for it, really, if I'd really want to do it properly. Yeah, I mean, I can open it up, but the Radha Ganadesh Deepika, Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika of Rupa Goswami, is the book that describes that. It describes how Lalita has a fiery nature, how she is protecting Radharani from Krishna many times. When Krishna is mistreating, then Lalita is the first one to expose it or to question Krishna's intention, even if Krishna is like, because after all he has betrayed her many times. So she's the first one to raise that point, from why would you trust this debauchee, this cheater, and so on, again and again. She dresses in, I guess not always, but one. But she's famous for her peacock dress, peacock feather dress, or whatever, some peacock design dress. So she is very, she's always accompanying Srimati Radharani. Champakalata, since that's your name. Champakalata is very learned in all kinds of, in nature. She knows a lot about herbs and about different aspects of nature and trees and so on, and she, in this way, she's very expert in making all kinds of pleasing arrangements for Krishna. So around Varsana, there are 8 villages that are dedicated to these Astasakis in the circle around Varsana. And one of these villages is dedicated to Champakalata. It's a beautiful village, really nice. There's this very peaceful pond. It's like just, there's a nice pond, and just a little kutia there, a beautiful staircase going into the water, and it looks like a, like a, the perfect place. Really nice. So you can go there. For the rest, you know, Radha Krishna, Ganodesh Deepika. You can get it.
If we understand that this is actually the mood in our line to rather serve or support the servants of Radharani than ourselves, then actually it should be that we support our spiritual master.
Yeah.
And then how, and but at the same time how apart, because otherwise it falls all apart, so how does it...
Yeah, okay, well it basically means like we are serving the, it said, we are serving the servants of Srimati Radharani 100 times removed, right? That doesn't mean that you always have to, you know, if Prabhupada was number 32 And if your spiritual master is 33 or 34, right, in the line of the cyclic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that's how it is, right? Prabhupada is number 32. So, you know, at present we have gurus who are either 33 or 34, you know. So your guru is either a 33 or a 34. Okay, that's the model, right? Yeah. So, it's like, whatever. So, but Prabhupada, of course, remains now prominent. His not only like because he's the founder acharya of ISKCON and so on, which he will be as long as ISKCON will exist. Right? So as long as ISKCON will exist, everyone is bound by Prabhupada, yeah, by his own emphasis on this founder acharya. But even also that simply no one has matched his realization. And no one in this movement can remain standing on the spiritual path without taking shelter of Prabhupada. So he's our shelter. Yeah. There's no one who can. So it's like we may be a few generations removed from Prabhupada, doesn't matter. We still depend on his shelter. And he's the acharya for the modern times, you know what I mean? Which are like, see, you have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared in a time, where Vedic culture was still alive, you know, although some parts of it were covered over. There was a lot of smarta Brahmanism and this and that, you know, Kali worship. But Vedic culture was still very prominent and very much followed and alive. So Prabhupada translated the essence, he took the essence out of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, and left out the Vedic culture element to a large extent, only brought in a smaller percentage of Vedic culture into the movement, and just boiled it down to the spiritual essence of the process. Yeah. Whereas at the time, 500 years ago, there was still a lot more Vedic culture mixed in. And therefore you see the Hari Bhakti Vilas has so much Vedic culture mixed in. And then you get like the, it's very interesting how you get like the difference that you see between Prabhupada's God brothers and Prabhupada sometimes. Yeah, where it's like, they just kept a little bit more of the tradition. Like, you know, only papaya on certain fast days and things like this, and on certain rules that the Prabhupada didn't care about, yeah, and just didn't introduce and didn't ask us to follow and didn't think was important. But Hari Bhakti Vilas is emphasizing the Prabhupada. Because he streamlined it a little bit for the world so that it would become a program that could go worldwide and it would fit worldwide, and therefore, you know, we as Prabhupada's followers will represent that. So we'll take shelter of Prabhupada, but not exclusively, you know. Not that like, okay, my spiritual master helped me nicely in the beginning, but then I came to Prabhupada. Not that either, right? So. And it's really interesting that different spiritual masters have different moods. You know, I often give the example. I was in this initiation ceremony in the Czech Republic one time, and Lokanath Maharaj was giving initiation, and you know, he's asking all, every disciple, like every other, there's a whole bunch of gurus and everyone's disciples are coming, candidates are coming forward. So what are the four regulative principles that you promise to follow for the rest of your life? Blah, 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 you know, and everyone asks it a little different, you know, one guru, but it asks it in one way, and other wording, but okay. And how many rounds are you promising to chant, you know? It's like, and then, so Lokanath Maharaj had initiated a few disciples, one after the other. And then this one, Mataji, is called forward, and he asks her, so, regulated principles, da-da-da-da-da, how many rounds? And then she says, minimum 16 rounds every day. And then he stops and he says, and how many on Ekadasi? And she looks at him like, in shock, you know? Like you could see on her face, you're not going to ask me, you're not going to ask me to promise to chant all these, to chant extra rounds on Ekadasi. You're not going to ask me, no. Please, no. Right? See, all over her face, please, no. And again he goes, and how many on Ekadasi? And finally she goes like, 25? And he goes, yes, very nice. You know, and he made her promise 25. So in a sense, you know, she paid more than everybody else that day. You know what I mean? Everybody else paid only 16 rounds, right, for the mercy to go back to Godhead. And she had to pay 16 rounds plus 25 on Ekadasi. She paid a higher price, you know. Yeah, that was really like shocking, you know. And it really made me think, you know. It's like, it's amazing because it's personal, right? It's personal at the end of the day, you know. And the spiritual master, yeah, can see, you know, he can do such things. I was thinking about it, but wow, you know, this is amazing. Different standards, you know. You see one guru is always talking Vaishnav etiquette, Vaishnav etiquette, Vaishnav etiquette, and another guru is always talking Sankirtan, 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 Sankirtan. Another guru is always talking about, and if you haven't read the Bhagavatam, I will not give you first initiation. Yeah. You know, so you get, and you see all these disciples with glasses, you know, like, I mean, different, but different standards, you know, different standards. Huh? Isn't that interesting? It's just interesting, yeah. I'm not criticizing it, I'm just saying it's like an interesting phenomenon, how it works. So the personal service to one's own personal guru is essential. And if that's not there, you can't just go to Prabhupada and think, well, I'm following exactly what Srila Prabhupada said. So it's bona fide. Yeah. Sometimes disciples do this, you know, that like they slap you around the ears with something Prabhupada said, so it's okay what I'm doing, isn't it? Hmm? And, you know, no, because I say, yeah, some do a mom and dad job for you, you know, yeah, two authorities, and, you know. Anyway, free format. Anyone else? It's not finished already, is it? So early. No more zoom lenses. I'm asking, you know, just a zoom lens. What is an area that sparks some interest? It's like you don't have to ask a question, but where would you put a zoom lens? Where would you want a zoom lens?
About Manjari form, you said that all jivas, no more jiva, like,
yeah, like Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari is jiva.
And we're going to be on that. We want to be.
We could be. We could also be blades of grass, like Uddhava wanted to be.
But our line is leading us to Lord that, and, but we can have our own...
Vrindavan, okay, our line, is our line leading us to Manjari Bhav? And should we therefore think that sooner or later we come to Manjari Bhav? No, our line is basically revealing Vraja Bhakti. And Vraja Bhakti means that, in particular, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in that mood of Srimati Radharani and tasting those mellows and so on. And but, you know, the five rasas in Vrindavan are all together. You can't separate them. And they're all together in an intricate relationship. And they all need it. Like, you know, the trees, right? The trees spontaneously produce flowers, right? When Krishna is passing through the forest. Right? The forest is needed. Where would be a question of, the forest is the main meeting place. Right? Where would be Madhurya Ras without the forest? Yes, I mean, the trees play an essential role in Madhurya. And these flowers, they create the sweet scent in the forest that awakens Madhurya type of desires. Therefore, the trees are also serving the Manjari Bhav. In the same way, the cowherd boys, right? They create the separation. Right? When Krishna is with the cowherd boys, then, you know, they create viraha, the separation. So like this, we understand that all of these five principal rasas are essentially together. That is our big dispute with the Nimbarkas. See, the Nimbarkas are emphasizing that the highest is a place called Nitya Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna are eternally married, and that's it. So now, if you read the Gopal Champu of Jiva Goswami, you see that, like, yes, Radha and Krishna are eternally married. We recognize that, right? But we don't emphasize that as the highest. Nor do we isolate that, you know, that situation. It's sort of, it's there, but it's forgotten. In the pastimes, forgotten. In Jiva Goswami's pastimes description, they sometimes remember it for a moment. Everyone remembers it. Yeah. And then they all forget again. Yeah. And then all this separation, and then, you know, the stolen moments again. Of Parakya Ras, the forbidden relationship. When, oh when? When finally is it possible to meet? And the Manjaris are assisting, and some are acting as messengers and going up and down and making arrangements. Not just messengers who carry a letter, but they're managers, they're expert in making arrangements. It's like, okay.
Centralized?
Yeah, they are, but they still, in Vrindavan, they have some element of dasya. See? This is dasya. It's not like hardcore Santaras. It's different Santaras. It's already mixed with some. There's that connection to the Madhurya. There's some. We see the trees are not just standing there passively. No, they start to produce flowers and or drip honey or things like this, yeah, spontaneously. So they are active. Yeah.
Isn't it we are actually Rupa Nuga and followers Rupa Goswami, and therefore actually we're supposed to receive his mood at the end of it?
Yeah, okay.
So there are different as well sampradayas that actually have inspiration for being Gopa and stuff like that. And they are actually the one who's supposed to bring those moods.
Yeah, well, you know, like in the Gaudiya, in the greater Gaudiya world, you know, let's call it that, right? Where there's different Gaudiya acharyas, there are different perceptions on this point, and some acharyas are of the opinion that the Siddha Deha, or the eternal identity, develops in association and blessings of a particular guru. So that, like, the guru gives the seed, the particular seed, and that according to the seed one receives from the guru, that one develops the Siddha Deha. Prabhupada had a different opinion about that. Prabhupada was, like, basically saying Nietzsche Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhu Kabanaya Sravanadi Sudha Chitta Karya Udai. Udai means awakening. And Prabhupada said it's a reawakening of an eternal identity that's already there. And that he said many times, and we can document it, like in like big discussion with Hansa Dutta in the conversations on this topic, where Prabhupada again and again is sort of pointing that out, that, like, no, it's already there, right? The identity is all there. It's reawakened. But can we change? Prabhupada said, why would we change? Why would we change? Now Hansa Dutta keeps on that. But can we? Can we? Can we? Finally, Prabhupada says, yes, you can, but again, why would you? Right? Right? So, yeah, therefore, you know, like, whereas other Gaudiyas, they think that it's a matter of you get a particular seat from a particular guru. So then you come, like, okay, in the view that there are different sampradayas, some for the gopas, some for this, and then you receive those teachings there. In our line as Prabhupada Nukas, we cannot subscribe to that, but, you know, we're also not going to enter into a big argument with Vaishnavas over such things, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I think we have to grow up, right? And we have to learn that when there are such small difference on a detail, there's no need to argue. Yeah, I mean, we even saw some years ago, there was a Brahmana from the Madhava Sampradaya, a scholar, a pundit, who sort of attacked ISKCON, right? And there was, like, some debate about some views and this, like, and some points, and it was going up and down for a little while on the internet, right? A tit-for-tat type of paper writing. And then finally, one of the acharyas of the Madhavas spoke out and said, like, you know, it's not required, you know, amongst Vaishnavas that we fight, right, over such issues. So, but some, you know, I guess we beg to differ, you know. It's like, we beg to differ on this point, and that's all, you know. I mean, following the line of Prabhupada. Okay.
I was wondering, how is it that really exalted devotees like Raghunath Das Goswami or even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not universally and generally recognized by people, by parents even?
Yeah.
How is it that they could not? One is a special person, a special devotee, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, it was so obvious they had a bona fide guru that they stopped him. Not just these parents
sure.
in particular, but generally people that they don't. Not everybody sees Krishna as Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah, even when Krishna was personally present, right, in the wrestling arena, it's described in the Bhagavatam, then all these different perceptions were there. You know, some could recognize him and some could not. So even at the time of Krishna, it was like that, right? And obviously since that time, things have degraded a lot more, and people have become even more and more situated in tamagun and rajagun compared to 5,000 years ago. You know, you're so forgetful, so ignorant. What do we know these days about reality? I mean, so many things, you know, that I never thought about. Yeah. Today I was like, for a moment, watching a video where Vaisheshika Prabhu spoke, and he said, you know, that there are three words, right? You know, or two words that make it impossible, right? Impossible to accept anything, and that is, I know. And people always say, I know. And I remember reading the Bhagavad Gita while smoking my cigarettes and smudging the pages with ashes and reading it and saying, I know all this. Yeah. So, yeah, ignorance is thick now. Very thick in Kali Yuga. It's not just that we are sinful, we're very ignorant. You know what I mean? So many crazy things are going on, and everyone's thinking like, well, you know, I mean, maybe it's okay. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's what we did. So I guess the ignorance is very thick. So Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, they were compromised by all that wealth. You know what I mean? They had all that money. So their bhakti had become mixed with it. And therefore, you know, they were thinking of themselves as devotees, and they were devotees. But they could not see that, like, their son was, you know, going to go a pure devotional path. They just thought, like, well, you know, okay, let him be a devotee, but we are devotees. We're worshipping deities in our house and so on, so why can't he do it that way? Why can't he? Does he want to give up the responsibility? Our parents, of course, you know, they are further gone. Yeah? Yeah. You know, it's like, can you live without meat? I mean, you sure? You know? really? I mean, you know, is it all? What about B12? Huh? No, serious. Your protein, you know? I mean, it's okay for your health, you know? The doctor is not sure about it. You should talk to him. Yeah, no, we spoke to him and he said, like, really, you know, I mean, you'd better, I mean, would you mind go see the doctor? it's hard, you know, for people to understand. So. Faith develops according to how much one is compromised by the material energy, it says in the Bhagavad Gita. Faith according to the three modes of material nature. So when you're very compromised with the material energy, then your faith develops accordingly. And then also, it means you cannot have faith in transcendental life. I at first also thought, you know, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be a Hare Krishna. It's too extreme. Not really. Walk around in that pink dress. Forget it, you know. I mean, isn't there some sort of spiritual life that's a little more normal? Must be something. I didn't think, nah, I'm not going to join those, I'm going to do that. It really took a little... Krishna had to make some arrangements before I took it.
Things.
Yeah, we do.
It doesn't mean if somebody's...
Even now, you know, I mean, even now, people get involved with this movement, and then they fall back into the mood of I know. And we all fall back in that mood, I know, instead of like, you know, being the servant of the servant. Then we also miss out. So like even many people who come to this movement never get to the inner core of it. You know, we're in a movement and we stay on the outside. And we don't get to the inner core of it. A lot of people. Getting a long sit now. I begin to feel my limbs. I don't know if I can stretch them. So maybe we should end now, unless someone has a burning desire to bring up something. It's not that burning anymore. Okay, well, thanks a lot for coming this evening. Hope it was interesting. We'll meet again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.